Germany muscles its way through some worrisome economic headwinds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. We've got the global perspective for you this hour, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the U.S. Just as worries are setting in over signs of a slowing recovery in the U.S. and China, Germany steps up to buck the global trend. Numbers out today show the German economy is growing at a near-record pace. Is that enough to pick up the slack? As our Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports from London, don't count on it just yet.
Between April and June, Germany's GDP jumped by 2.2%. That's the fastest quarterly rate of German growth in more than 20 years. Is three times faster than the growth rate in France. The main reason for Germany's success are its exports. The weak euro made German products even more attractive abroad. But Philip White, who's with the Centre for European Reform, says Germany isn't helping the global recovery.
So long as Germany relies on foreign demand to grow at all, I think that we can't rely on Germany to pull the world economy out of its current malaise. What we need in the German economy is for consumers in particular to start spending more than they've been doing in recent years.
And buying more foreign products. In other words, he says, the cautious Germans need to throw open their wallets and become more like free-spending Americans. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, the major European stock markets are staying cautious about just how significant that news really is. There's not even a warm, fuzzy feeling coming out of Germany at this hour. Frankfurt's DAX is down almost 1%. In Paris, the CAC 40 is off more than 0.75%. London's FTSE hasn't stumbled quite as much, though. It's off a little less than 0.5%. Most Asian markets were able to recover some ground today. Wall Street's third straight losing day figures out to a 380-point drop so far for the Dow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
BP has agreed to pay some costly new safety fines. And this time the charges have nothing to do with the Gulf of Mexico. The firm has agreed to pay a record $50 million fine to U.S. safety regulators, and BP will spend an additional $500 million to improve conditions at one of its Texas refineries. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports on the latest trouble for the British-based oil giant.
15 workers were killed by an explosion at BP's Texas City oil refinery back in 2005. And although the British oil giant spent $1 billion on safety upgrades, it didn't do everything the government asked it to do. But it's not the first time BP has been criticised for its safety and environmental standards. David Weaver is a former BP executive who now heads up his own company. He says many of BP's safety failures can be blamed on its management structure, starting at its London headquarters and running all the way down to its smaller subsidiaries.
BP is over-bureaucratic and there are too many management levels and disconnect them from the front line. And I think this is a comment that needs to be taken very seriously.
The fine levied against BP for its Texas City refinery is the largest ever imposed by federal workplace safety investigators. And despite facing more charges in connection to safety and pollution, BP still refuses to accept responsibility. But however big this fine is, the fines and clean-up costs for the Gulf of Mexico oil spill will almost certainly dwarf it. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Have you ever noticed how every disaster seems to bring out the T-shirt entrepreneurs? Selling slogans like, I made it through the storm of the century, or I survived the big quake of 98. Well, since the early weeks of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, vendors have been hawking shirts. Our sustainability reporter, Adrienne Hill, has been checking this phenomenon out, and she joins us now. Good morning, Adrienne.
Good morning, Bob.
So, are these joke T-shirts, or are they serious issue T-shirts? T-shirts? What are you seeing out there?
Well, you know, they're both. A lot have oiled pelicans and animals. Tony Hayward's unfortunate I'd like my life back comment has made its way to some of those. Other shirts knock around BP. There are all sorts of parodies of its logo. And others are more serious. You know, make wetlands, not oil is one I've seen. Some of these are being sold by organizations looking to raise money for the Gulf restoration. Others just being sold by entrepreneurs looking to make a buck.
Any idea how many of these have been sold?
My best guess is that there are tens of thousands of these oil spill-related T-shirts out there. Threadless alone sold more than 12,000 of its T-shirt. Cafe Press told me they sold between 4,000 and 5,000 oil spill-related shirts. So putting all these things together, all the companies I talked to were in the tens of thousands range rather than the hundreds of thousands.
Okay, now follow me here on this. A lot of these shirts are decrying the environmental damage that this oil spill has done. But I wonder, aren't the T-shirts themselves having some environmental impact here?
They sure do. The average cotton T-shirt takes more than 700 gallons of water to produce. You've got to grow the cotton. You've got to produce the fabric. There's also a lot of petroleum that goes into shipping the cotton to fabric makers to T-shirt makers, and the T-shirts back to the U.S. So there's oil involved here. There is a touch of irony.
As I suspected. On the other hand, in their defense, you say some of these T-shirt vendors are sending money to the Gulf?
Yep. A lot of the organizations I talk to are sending a percentage of their profits to the cleanup effort. And here we're in the sort of maybe low hundreds of thousands of dollar range all told. But you might want to hold back on giving your neighbor a hard time for that oil spill T-shirt.
Okay. Thanks, Adrienne.
Thank you, Bob.
We've collected a picture gallery of some of those T-shirts at marketplace.org. And finally, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
The Federal Reserve is amassing the nerve to do mortgage buying again. China is slowing the rate that it's growing. The dollar is trailing the yen. GM's making money. Its forecast is sunny. That's good for Obama, I'd guess. Now he can tell voters his General Motors investment has been a success. And then there's the case of JetBlue, where apparently one of the crew saw a passenger grab in the overhead cabin and bid her a vulgar adieu. Having settled the verbal dispute, he displayed a one-finger salute, and for his finale took beer from the galley and popped the emergency chute. The trade deficit's up. This summer's World Cup gave sales a push at Anheuser-Busch. A scandal has freed up the head of HP, and I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Our own Ryman Radke serves up the Marketplace Minute here every Friday morning. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.